Hey, I'm Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Pegging Paradise Podcast number 216 on September 11th, 2019. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out exactly which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging everywhere. So, how about a patron update? I have two new patrons.
Yes.
Has pledged $5 a month. Thank you, Lewis, for your generous patronage. I really appreciate it. And Patrick has also pledged $5 a month. Can't tell you how much your support means to me, Patrick. Thank you so much. And then I received a one-time donation from Ashley of $5. Yay! Thank you all very much for your support. I do appreciate it. All right, let's jump right off into your letters. Good evening, Ruby. I have a question for you. So, like I mentioned earlier, me and my girlfriend indulge ourselves in the act of pegging from time to time, and she is coming around to it a little more each time, but she isn't fully grasping the concept of becoming, quote, more dominant, end quote. When we do perform the act, I tell her I want to become vulnerable to her, as if completely switching roles, but she just kind of goes through the motions, so to speak. I guess what I'm saying is that she isn't taking full advantage of me being vulnerable to her. We have talked a lot about it. She thinks that I am too, quote, masculine, end quote, to switch roles or to be vulnerable, but that's besides the point of the act itself. When we do perform it and I request dominance, I'm asking for a role reversal as opposed to complete domination. That is a turnoff. But she doesn't take full advantage of the situation. I guess all we can do is communicate about it, but do you have any pointers? Thank you for your time. It is much appreciated. So, I've talked about this before, but you know what? It bears saying many times over again because it does sort of outline the methods, the way that you do good communication. Different words mean different things to different people, clearly. You said you've communicated a lot about this, but what I'm wondering is, have you told her exactly what you'd like her to do? Have you maybe written it down? Have you given her a list of things that you fantasize about her doing when she is acting, as you say, quote, dominant, end quote? Because her definition of it might be different than yours. If there are certain things that you do to her when you are making love and you are acting more dominant, then point those things out to her. Maybe in the moment, maybe not, if you think it'll kill the mood. But maybe after you make love and say, hey, you know when I grabbed you and turned you over kind of hard, you know, like that? That's the kind of stuff I mean. Now also know that if there's a difference in your body sizes and strengths, that she may not be able to do the dominant sort of throwing you around type of thing. But even just reading your letter myself and trying to figure out what you mean, twice you say she doesn't take full advantage of the situation. I'm not even sure what you mean by that. I know that when I want to act dominant with a man, there is some verbal parts to it as well. You don't mention anything about that, and you are asking for role reversal as opposed to complete domination. Okay, complete domination might be her telling you exactly what to do, and you can't do anything unless she tells you. You might be thinking that complete domination would include verbal humiliation or degradation. See what I mean? There are so many different ways to interpret this. So, one of my suggestions is, like I said, when you are making love with her and you feel like you are being dominant in that situation, you could even just be grabbing her and pulling her into you while you fuck her and say, see, this is what I want you to do to me, sweetie. This makes me hot. The whole idea of you doing this to me totally turns me on. Give her concrete examples. And again, I'm not sure if doing that in the moment might kind of ruin things. So think about whether or not you want to do it in the moment, because it also might be kind of hot. Or wait afterwards and say, you know, when I was pulling you to me and just fucking you really hard, that's what I want you to do. Or whatever else it is that you fantasize about her doing. Because the more specifics she has, the better chance you are going to have at her doing what you want. And of course you do need to take into consideration there may be some things she's just not comfortable doing, but the going through the motion thing, don't necessarily take that as a disinterest or a lack of motivation. Sometimes that going through the motions sort of feel is just from inexperience. And I've told this story before too. When I first started doing dominant stuff, I knew that I was dominant, but I didn't know how to act dominant. And that sounds really funny because it's sort of like, how did you know you were dominant? Well, I started getting really interested in the BDSM stuff. I definitely wanted to beat guys. I definitely wanted to tie them up. But in terms of how to do that smoothly and how to move a man around in bed with authority, if you will, because that's part of it too, and the things to say to sort of turn myself on as well as him, those are all things I had to learn over time, and it took some time. I mean, I've been doing this for about 8 years now, and so now it comes really naturally. But in the beginning, I remember feeling quite lost. And so it's possible that that's where she is. She's just sort of feeling quite lost. Now, you also mentioned that she said she thinks you're too masculine to switch roles. Again, it really depends on what you guys mean by switching roles. But on that front, you can definitely reassure her that this is just switching for now. I want to experience what it's like to be completely vulnerable and have you totally run the show. So these are the ways that I picture when I fantasize about being totally vulnerable when you peg me. And these are the ways when I fantasize about you pegging me that you totally take control and run the show. And also perhaps reassure her that this will not change anything about your masculinity the rest of the time when you're not doing the pegging thing. You know, it's up to you to decide if you're too masculine to be able to participate in something you're fantasizing about. Not really up to her. It sounds like she's so used to seeing you that way that she's sort of doubting that it's possible for you to do that, is kind of what you communicated. But, you know, all you can do is just try it, I suppose, and show her, oh yeah, I can definitely be vulnerable. But more important, I think to communicate with her, yeah, it might be a little strange for me to be submissive. It might be a little strange for me to be vulnerable, but you know what? I really, really want to try. I want to have this experience. Why do I want to have this experience? Because I am masculine and in control all of the time. So this that we do together, this pegging thing, gives me an opportunity to let go and be vulnerable and not have to run the show. So you might want to put it into those words as well. So think about writing it down, think about talking to her about it with those words, and getting really, really as specific as you possibly can. I'm not sure if you've covered all these bases, because you said you've talked about it a lot, but when it comes to just throwing words out there, like she doesn't take full advantage of the situation, that doesn't give me any specifics at all. To you, that might mean she doesn't give you verbal humiliation and degradation, and that wouldn't be what it means to me at all. I do know that there are a lot of men out there who crave the feeling of being fucked in a way where they are kind of thrown around the bed and controlled, if you will. So perhaps that's what you're wanting, and if it is, then ask her, and hopefully she will do it to the best of her ability. That's the best advice I have for you, sir. Get those definitions happening. Write some stuff down and then see what happens. And you might even want to schedule it sort of like, okay, so we're going to do the pegging thing. I'm going to write down some words that kind of, you know, evoke what I'm trying to experience here. And let's see what happens. Try and keep it lighthearted, though, as opposed to, look, you're not taking full advantage of the thing. You know, I told you I want you to be dominant. No, just keep communicating, keep encouraging. And when she does some things right when you're doing the pegging, and you're like, oh, that part she got just right, give her all kinds of thank you, thank yous, and point it out and thank her and appreciate her. All right, I think I'm done on that one. Good luck to you, and please let us know how it goes. All right, here's another email, a quick short one. Hello, I have always wanted to try pegging, but I couldn't find someone to let me do that. Now I have found someone, and I'm not sure what to do or how to prepare. Well, you are the perfect candidate to take my webinar. I schedule these webinars approximately twice a month, sometimes a little more often, and they are the perfect thing when you have a spare couple of hours to sit through and learn all about pegging. Givers attend these webinars for free. Receivers are asked for a small donation of $15, but if the receivers would stay away because they can't afford the $15, they can just shoot me an email and get a free ticket as well. This will give you all the information you need to start off your journey with pegging. It'll give you the basics. I talk about safety. I talk about cleanliness. And I start off the class talking about all of the misconceptions, why people don't explore it, what they're afraid of, and then all of the reasons it's cool to explore pegging. At 10, I touch a little bit about equipment. There's going to be a deeper dive into equipment in the advanced class, which I'm working on right now. But there will be a link on my website on the right-hand side that flat out says webinars. And that's all you need to do is go click on that. There's usually two scheduled. Every once in a while, I slack for a little bit after I do one and I don't put another one up real quick. But I have them in a variety of days and times, so you should be able to find one in there that works for you. And that should do it. So good luck to you. Hope to see you at one of the webinars. All right, another letter. And this was posted in the forums under the topic, The Difference Between a Man and a Dildo. I've been pegged a few times by pros and have bottomed many times for trans women, also pros. None of my experiences involve domination, and I would classify them as sensual. I never go to the same pro twice because I tend to get emotionally attached. A dildo never gets soft, and with penises, that is definitely not the case. I always pay for an hour session, and it rarely lasts more than 15 minutes. With pegging, I was always satisfied. Yes, a real dick makes me feel a greater connection, and the warmth and the physical response are wonderful, but more often than not, I'm left needing more. I'm sure it is quite different with a partner. I think trans women are beautiful, and I prefer to see them professionally, but to get me off, there has to be more. I've been pegged by a trans woman when she was trying to hide her inability to get it up. She thought I didn't notice, and that was nice. I am in a very loving but sexless marriage. We are partners in every sense, but due to childhood sexual trauma, my wife can only seem to get in the mood a few times a year. Pegging is not even something I want to bring to the table when regular sex is such an issue. I know she looks the other way because she knows I have sexual needs, but her pussy is the only one for me. Thank you for elaborating on that. I see that question asked a lot, and I get it asked occasionally here as well, about, so what's really the difference between a dildo and a real guy? That's asked a lot on Reddit, and I've heard a lot of different opinions about it. Some men will say, oh my God, a real dick is better than anything else ever. Because just the warmth, the feel of it, the knowing it's real, all that kind of stuff, it's so much better. And then there are guys like you who say, well, yeah, it's great, and it does give me a feel of a greater connection, but it certainly doesn't last as long. And like you said, more often than not, you are left needing more. That's a very interesting thing to point out, that you go see pros all the time, but when it's a real penis, it rarely lasts more than 15 minutes, and that's not the case when it's a toy. So if you get pegged by a pro, yeah, I imagine you could ask to keep going as long as you want within that hour time frame. Wow, that's a really good point. I never thought of that. Interesting. So, I'm sad to hear you are in a sexless marriage, but I am happy to hear that it's very loving. And sometimes that's how these things end up for a whole variety of reasons. So it sounds like you found a nice balance in getting your needs met elsewhere, and that she has decided to look the other way and be loving and continue on with you. So good for you, and thanks for sharing those differentiations with us. That adds to the knowledge base, and I appreciate you sharing it. Okay, and then somebody wrote back again about the snug plug. So I talked about the snug plugs a few podcasts ago because someone was wondering about the ability to keep a butt plug in. They were having difficulty keeping it in. And that started some research regarding the really thin neck on the B-Vibe snug plugs is very much suited to keeping it in, but it also turns out, as someone shared, I think the same guy, that the difference when you use a snug plug for prostate stimulation is that the thinness of the neck doesn't interfere with concentrating on the prostate sensations. Because with bigger plugs, when the plug is big and the neck is also big, there's a sensation of stretching that anal sphincter. And for this guy who wrote in, it really interfered with concentrating on the stimulation of the prostate. And this was a revelation for a few of you guys out there about, whoa, I never even thought of that. So I imagine a number of you are trying that now. And anyway, with all that recap, he wrote back again and said, I realized another great feature about the snug plug, which you may well have already thought of. While it is often suggested that one add lube for extended wear, that isn't so easy with a typical butt plug. With the small neck of the snug plug, it should be easy to use a lube shooter to add lube whenever you want. And you know, that's true. Those necks are quite thin, so you could absolutely do that. That's a great idea. Thanks for suggesting it. And for all of you out there who are just tuning in, I do not recommend any lube shooter out there because most of them are filled with really, really crappy lube. I suggest that you get a shooter or a syringe, whatever you want to call them, and you fill it up with the best lube, which is Slickwood Silk. So I'm going to put a link to the lube shooters that I found on Amazon. And of course, there'll be a link to the Slickwood Silk as well. Why would I not link to that? Here is something really sweet that I found on the forum, and it was titled The Perfect Morning. Came home yesterday morning from work. Wife had texted me saying she already made me coffee and to meet her upstairs. Got to my room, opened the door to find her wearing one of my button-up shirts and strapped with my favorite toy. Stripped me down and put me in the shower and had her way with me. Once we were done, she walked me over to the bed, gently pushed me down on my back, picked my legs up on her shoulders, and enjoyed me again and again. That does indeed sound like the perfect morning, and this was signed by Lovin' My Wife. Oh my goodness. What a delightfully erotic thing to find on the forum. I love the success things, like, you know, this was really cool and we did this and it was so hot type of posts. Those are really fun to encounter. Just lets me know that you guys are out there having a really good time. Okay. Okay, here is a question I found on the forum from the girl next door. She wrote, talking lubes, what are your best all-around picks for pegging? We've tried many different brands, but would love to hear your opinions. Always looking for a good long-lasting lube that doesn't constantly need to be reapplied or harm the toy. So, of course, my default is Slickwood Silk, and here are all the reasons why. There are a whole bunch of ingredients in lube that make it what it is, and they put in unnecessary things, or sometimes things that are toxic, and also sometimes things that can really work counter to the whole point of lube. Like, for example, there's an alcohol derivative that they sometimes put in lubes. Does that make any sense at all? Because alcohol is drying. Anyway, glucose is one of them, and that can encourage yeast infection, so you see what I mean. Plus, if you're allergic to anything that they put in there, you kind of get a burning sensation. That's a common reaction if you're allergic to something in the lube, and that definitely will put an end to your sexy times. So the company Sliquid only puts the good ingredients in and doesn't use any of the bad ingredients. And they have a lube called Sliquid Silk that is a hybrid lube. What does that mean? It means that it is a combination of silicone and water-based. There's only 12% silicone in there, but that small amount of silicone turns it from a water-based lube, which you would have to reapply constantly, to a much longer lasting and very appropriate lube for pegging. It is my holy grail of pegging lubes. And I met the guy who owns the company, Dean, and came up and introduced myself and said, as far as I'm concerned, you produce the holy grail of pegging lubes. And you guys have heard how he joked with me when he responded, because I've mentioned this at least a couple of times on this podcast. He said, oh, well, that's awesome. Let me give you a hug. And he said, or maybe I should just turn around. Those are the kind of jokes that fly around a lot at the ANME show, Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo. It's basically all the people who make the lubes and the sex toys and all the stuff that we love. So yes, that is an excellent, excellent company. There are so many good things to get from that company above and beyond the Sliquid Silk, but I am just stuck on Sliquid Silk. And then many of you out there are going to go, wait a minute, 12% silicone, I can't use it on my silicone toys. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. It's a really good quality silicone. There's only 12%. I have a wide variety of toys, believe me, and it has never harmed one of them. Now, if you go off and buy the cheap stuff on Amazon for $10 for a dildo, there's no guarantees there with any lube. There's also no guarantees that you're not putting something toxic inside your body. But you get my point. If you have good quality toys, you can absolutely use Sliquid Silk. So please note that if you see Sliquid Silk Organic, please don't get that one for pegging. It has aloe vera in it, and it has a tendency to dry up. It is likely just wonderful lube for PIV, penis and vagina sex, but it is not good for pegging because of that aloe vera in there. So just get the regular stuff, not the organic. That's my suggestion. There are people out there who absolutely love coconut oil. There are people who love the J.O. lube. And I'm trying to think of some of the others that I have seen that would qualify to be in the category of really good quality with none of the bad ingredients and stuff. It was amazing. I was at one show and I went around to all the lube people and checked the ingredients on pretty much every single one of them. And it was astonishing. All of them had bad ingredients, every single one, except for Sliquid. So you see why I am such a fan. So give that a try, girl next door, and see what you think. And I welcome anyone else's suggestions as well. The thing about, you know, suggestions for lube is that some people might have what I would consider to be a substandard lube because it has stuff in it that's not good for you or that can possibly cause a reaction, but they're not having a reaction with it and they swear by it because they think it's the coolest lube ever because it's never given them a problem. So this is the whole thing about buying things through Entice Me. Tiffany takes a really hard line on the quality of the ingredients in all the lubes that she offers through Entice Me. So you can be guaranteed that even if you've never bought lube before, that the chances that you're going to react to anything that Entice Me sells is very, very low. So, Sliquid Silk, yeah. And again, that link will be in the Linkorama. Thanks for the question. So, there is actually a shortage of emails and things to answer this week. And it's funny because here I am at about the 20-minute point, and I don't have anything else more to answer. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's been happening with me because, oh, a lot of times people are curious. I don't talk that much about my own life, but sure, I'll share some stuff that's been happening. So, one of the things that's been happening in my life is I've been working out like crazy, totally like crazy. I've been going to the gym about 5 days a week. I get there really early in the morning because I have found out, I have a workout partner, and I have found out that the getting there early in the morning and getting it done first thing of the day is a way to guarantee that you're actually going to do it. There's two other things I really enjoy about the working out in the morning. One is, actually three, one is that I often get to see the sunrise. Sometimes I go into the gym and it's kind of dark, and then I come out and the sun's already up, and I'm like, damn it, I missed the sunrise. But when you start off early, that early in the day, there's this feeling that I get that the day is just chock full of possibilities. It's like anything can happen. It's a really positive feeling. It's a lovely feeling of anticipation and positivity. And the other thing is that I feel so good having worked out first thing in the morning that even if I have a bad day, how bad can it really be because I've already done something awesome? So there's that too. So I've been doing this for, I just checked the calendar today and I started this on August 3rd. So about 5 weeks now I've been doing this. I've also been really watching my diet and I went to a high fat, high protein, low carb diet. It's a really interesting way to change your diet. I was always a carnivore, so I loved meat, and I do really like dairy products as well, and you can get a good amount of fat from that, but I learned a bunch of stuff about carbs. I used to go for the sweet all the time. All the sauces I used had sugar in them. I used to start the day sometimes with a fruit shake, so I learned that I was consuming a vast amount of carbohydrates every day just through natural sugars. It wasn't even necessarily through refined sugars, because even though I do have a sweet tooth, I try not to indulge it very often. The other thing I noticed was that sometimes when I drink in the evenings, the things I mix it with are full of sugar and carbohydrates. So, how I've been eating is a lot of meat, a lot of cheese, some vegetables. That's pretty much it. And there are so many things I can't have, but at the same time, that fat, that high level of fat, is so good, it's so satisfying, that I've been able to stay on the diet. And let's see, I started off at 205. I'm giving you some personal details here. I start off at 205. I am 5'10". Used to be 5'10¾", but it's true that you shrink a little bit when you get older. So I'm 5'10". I weighed 205. And I just weighed myself the other day, and I'm down to 188. My goal is 180. And that is where I want to be before I go out and splurge and have a meal of all the things that I've been craving for all this time. Oh my goodness, there's so many things that I have said no to. So many. What do I miss the most? I miss the pad see ew dish at our local Thai food restaurant that I just love, love, love. It's rice noodles, and it's got carrots and broccoli and beef in it, and the sauce is absolutely amazing, and I totally love it. But I haven't had any noodles or anything like that in a really long time. I'm following this pyramid, if you will, that suggests 65% fat, 30% protein, and 5% carbs. 5% carbs is a really sucky low amount, and sometimes I totally fail on that, but I don't go crazy. I mean, if I were to do the diet perfectly, I would stay 20 carbs and under, and that's hardly any. So sometimes I'm up to 40 or even 50, but I usually keep it under that. And I've limited myself to 1,500 calories a day. And it's funny, as I'm announcing all this, I'm imagining all those people that are into physical fitness out there are going to write me and tell me either what I'm doing wrong or what I'm doing right, and what they do and what they suggest and what works for them, which is totally fine. I welcome all that. I may not listen to anything you have to say regarding me, because this is working just fine for me right now. The coolest part about working out, at least 5 days a week, is that I can see my progress. If I don't do anything else, I go in and I hit the elliptical. It's not technically an elliptical. It's called an adaptive motion trainer. So when you go to the gym, sometimes you see those ones where you do the leg thing, but you also the arm things are there too. And I tried that, and I just totally fell in love with it. So I have been on that, and at first, my goal was 300 calories. So sometimes, on slow mornings, it would take me like half an hour to get to 300 calories. And I'd just be, you know, it would be hard. And then slowly but surely, it got easier and easier. And I'm a competitive person. I don't always like to compete with people next to me, certainly not openly, even though sometimes I challenge myself to try and catch up with them. But I definitely like to compete with myself. So it's like, okay, let's see if I can break this new record, right? So I got down to 27 minutes for the 300 calories. And then I decided that I was just going to do 30 minutes and that it was going to be a straight out 30 minutes of it, and I would see how many calories I could burn. And of course, this is all on the machine. And they have those little hand things that you could put your hands on and see what your heart rate is. And usually mine stays right around 140, 150 max. But now that I've been kicking it up, it's been getting up to like 160, 165. And that's when I start really feeling kind of breathless and think about taking breaks and stuff like that. But I usually just slow it down a little bit more. And I've been cranking up the intensity in terms of the length of stride and the depths of the step itself. Now, what have I noticed? Well, first of all, I lost the weight, but I've noticed that my clothes are fitting better. There's a couple of pairs of pants that I can fit into now that I didn't used to be able to before. There's a particular couple of pair of jeans that I really want to fit back into. So 180 is my stated goal, but if I reach that before the end of it, I've joined a 12-week challenge. I'm going to go ahead and try and get down a little lower to 175 or 170. I was at the doctor not that long ago, and I was talking about my weight gain, and he looked me up and down, and he said, you know, I think you at your fighting weight would be about 180, because it's actually a good idea to have a little bit of extra weight on your bones, on your frame, when you get older, because it helps support everything. So, okay, I'll take that into consideration, but it would be awesome to get back down to 175 and put those jeans on. So who knows? Maybe I'll get there, maybe I won't. But when I do get to that goal, I'm going to go to have the noodle dish at the Thai food restaurant. And then there's a place that makes custom chocolates. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm going to go there and buy some of those. They're really expensive, so I can't buy a lot, but I'm definitely going to have some. So tonight, my daughter made brownies, filled the entire house with the smell of brownies. It was just a Trader Joe's mix, but it's a really good one. And it's becoming easier to just walk away from that and not eat it because I feel so much better. Holy crap. I can get up and down easier. I can sit down easier. I can get out of bed easier. I can get into my car easier. I go down steps easier. I have so much more energy. I get so much more done that it's hard for me to conceive of not continuing to do this simply because I feel so good. So that's a really awesome side effect of it, is that I just feel amazing. I went to the local store that has all kinds of plants and stuff, and I got a whole bunch of plants, and I repotted all the pots that are on my deck, and that's looking all bitchin', and I have this whole list of things I'm getting done. So I'm feeling quite productive and really healthy. And the question that I get from a lot of people when I tell them what I eat, because, for example, a really good meal for me is taking a bunch of asparagus, sauteing it up with some ghee, which is clarified butter, and putting a few cloves of garlic in there, and either some cooked chicken or cooked beef, and then melting a whole bunch of Jarlsberg cheese over the top of it, like a lot, because I love the cheese, and that's the fat thing, and that's what makes me feel good. That's what satisfies me. So I was telling one of my girlfriends this, and she said, well, be interesting to see what your cholesterol is. My cholesterol has been kicking high. Now, I don't have the exact numbers. I just have the combined number because my cholesterol gets measured every time I give blood. And I give blood every 2 to 3 months because I have a really special kind of blood that they want all the time. And I'm happy to give it. So it's nice that they check the cholesterol, and the combined number had been getting up around 230, 240, once it even got to 264. And the 264 was actually in July, okay, 264. And so I started all of this August 3rd, and I just got the results today from donating blood a couple of days ago. It takes a few days to get online, and it was 234. 30 points I lost. 30 points of cholesterol, and I'm eating so much fat. Holy crap. And a lot of meat, too. The meat I eat is chicken legs, ribeye steak, chicken breast sometimes, and then they sell these burgers, grass-fed Angus beef burgers that are frozen at Trader Joe's. Those are awesome and easy. I am actually eating better than I have in a long time because I'm making all the food myself. And the times when I go out to eat with people, what I try and do is to scope out the menu ahead of time. Ideally, if it's a bigger restaurant, I look and find out the nutritional value, and I have my meal all planned before I even get there. That's exactly what I did. Some friends took me out to Wood Ranch, and I had it all planned what I was going to eat before I even got in the car to go. So that planning ahead stuff is awesome. And making a big skillet of food and dividing it up into portions and then continuing to eat it for a day or two, that helps a lot too. But as I sit here, I have procrastinated doing this podcast until 11 o'clock. Actually, it was 10 when I started. 10 o'clock at night on Monday, right? And it's supposed to be up Tuesday, right? So I'm supposed to technically post this before midnight on Monday. Sometimes I get there, sometimes it's a little bit late. But I'm sitting here recording this, and I have a tall drink of some of that seltzer water that's just flavored with fruit, so there's hardly any fruit in it, but there's certainly no sugar. That with some tequila in it, yes. That is the kinds of things that I can drink nowadays. And here's another thing I noticed. I am someone who enjoys alcohol, absolutely. If I thought I could get away with it at 61 years old, I'd be having a couple of drinks a night. But my body doesn't like it nearly as much, and I have more side effects. It's not like I have a hangover the next morning, but I just don't feel as good. Well, that not feeling good the next morning, oh boy, that is magnified now that my body is in a different state, now that it's used to eating better, now that it's used to exercising a whole bunch. I feel it so much more the next morning. Wondering is pretty much it. And many times I go without because it's just like, I don't want the calories. I have to concentrate. I'm going to do things. So yeah. So that is what's happening on the fitness front. So it's almost as if the universe has said to me, oh, you're going to take care of yourself? Great. Now we'll start taking care of you a little bit better too. Because things are just flowing. There's so many things that are going so well, and it's just happening. And I have more energy to respond to people when they want to do things like interviews and things like that. And it's just flowing. I mean, I could line it all out, but good grief, it's like all over the place. So I'm quite pleased with the state I am in. And people ask me, say, how are you doing? You know, people I haven't seen in a long time, or maybe I just haven't seen them in a month or so. And they ask me, how are you doing? And the answer they get, the one-word answer that they get consistently over the past, I think it's been about 3.5 weeks, is fabulous. I am doing fabulous. So the last time I got on that adaptive motion trainer and did my half hour, I actually broke my last record, and it was 460 calories that I burned in 30 minutes. I was kicking it, man. And every once in a while, I get on there, and I'm all proud of myself and going, man, I'm doing great. And I am doing great for myself, right? And then this woman gets on the one next to me, and she just got out of the yoga class, and she's like this whipcord, you know, sinewy, muscly person. And she just kicked my butt. Man, there was no way I could keep up with her, and she started after I did. Oh, the things at the gym are pretty funny. Some days when I feel a lot of energy and I feel like I have a lot of time, I go ahead and do the weights too, because I think that's important. For right now, I just want to keep doing the cardio and lose the weight, and you know, the strength. I do still do massage, so the massage keeps me fairly strong with arms and things. But at this age, what I'm concentrating on is doing weights to try and keep my body in the literal shape I want. And I don't mean measurements like, you know, bust and waist and hips. I mean posture, the strength in certain parts of my body, and trying to do exercises that pull my body back to a better frame and a better posture. So those are the things I'm working on too. And the YMCA is my friend, I gotta tell you. The YMCA is my friend. And there's something about having that particular soundtrack that I listen to that has a lot of explicit lyrics in the songs that kick ass when I exercise. And knowing that there I am at the YMCA and listening to songs like that just thrills me. I don't know. I like being the naughty woman. Yes, I do. It is a fabulously nice gym. It really is. I appreciate it so much. And I do feel much better about paying my, whatever it is, $47 a month to be a member there, because I'm using it so much now. What is another story I can tell you? Here am I using up the time on my podcast. This is kind of fun. I had an encounter with a troll the other night. It was late in the night, and I was posting the webinar all over different groups on FetLife, because on FetLife, they have a whole bunch of different groups concentrating on certain things, and many of them are location-oriented as well. So for example, they might have a lot of pegging groups, but sometimes it's Florida pegging, or Texas, or what have you, right? Or even Houston pegging, because they certainly have a Houston pegging group. That's a kind of a famous one. When I did the interview with John, and he talked about his pegging parties. Anywho, there I was, posting about the webinar, trying to get some more folks to attend it. And I'm just looking at all kinds of different threads in these groups, and I found one where a guy asked about the double-ended dildos, and he called them the strapless strap-ons, and did they work, and were they worth it, and were they practical, that sort of thing. So everybody put in their 2 cents worth, but this one guy, he says, well, if your partner has strong enough muscles, sure, they work fine. So I did a reply to him, which, of course, alerted him that I was replying directly to him, because it did add, and then his screen name. And I said, actually, that's not quite true, because about 90% of women can't hold those doubles in. When a woman gets aroused, she gets slippery, and that is not conducive to holding things in. Even lesbians have a difficult time holding those in, but they have an easier time than women who are doing pegging, because of vaginal muscles versus anal sphincters. And I said, but, you know, they're wonderful toys with a harness. He writes back, and he's just got the tude, man. Oh, my God. And he was so sarcastic, and he said, women get slippery when they get aroused. Thank you for enlightening me. I wasn't asking for any kind of insight. It's the original poster who was. So I responded again and said, you know, I have a lot of experience with this, and I have talked to many, many women, and I know of what I speak. So, you know, I wasn't offering you any insight. It was more of a correction. But I'm also definitely offering insight to the other people who are reading this thread. Then he goes for the jugular. And I'm not going to be able to remember exactly what he said because I've kind of forgotten it, which is good. But he attacked my age. He implied that, yeah, he imagines all kinds of things slip out of me because of my senior citizen status, like pee and poo and stuff like this. And he said, no, you don't speak for any other women but yourself. And he just kind of, he called me a political slur, a political party slur. He called me a libtard, I think. I can't remember what else he said, but it was pretty much that, and told me I just sort of wasn't welcome on the thread. And oh my God, did I have to control myself? Holy crap. Words are my playground, right? You want to have a verbal battle with words, I'm fucking all in, right? But spending energy doing that is such a waste of time. It does nothing but piss me off, get me all riled up. It's a waste of time. So I did what they say to do all the time, and I did what I tell other people to do. You know, the whole thing about don't feed the trolls. Well, but the other part about don't feed the trolls is you can't ignore them. You have to fucking report them. So I did. I reported him to FetLife admin for hate speech, and then I also sent a very brief message to both of the moderators of that group, and the title of my message was, the subject of my message was, help with a troll, please. And then I just put the link to his exact comment. And all of these rebuttals kept forming in my head, all of these things I could say, and you know, how he's probably such an unhappy dude because he's not getting fucked because he can't find anybody to fuck him because he's got such a fucking bad attitude, right? So all of these things are going round and round in my head. And I keep chasing them away and saying, no, 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 go away. You're not welcome here. No, no, don't want to think about that. Let it go, let it go, let it go. And I went to sleep because it was late at night. So I wake up in the morning, and when I get on my computer, I find a note from one of the mods of that group, one of the ones I'd sent a message to, and it simply said, we got you. Thanks for letting us know. So I went back to the thread, and not only was that response of his that I said, you know, when he insulted my age and all that, not only was that one gone, but another one where he called another poster a moron, that was gone too. And there was a comment from that mod that said, comments deleted and poster banned for assholish comments. Keep it civil, people. I can't tell you how satisfying that was. Not only did I resist the rebuttal, the fight, the verbal sword fight, right? Not only did I resist that, and I have been known not to resist it in the past. I have done things that I wish I would have done differently and just gotten into it with people. You know, this only works when you have good mods. I have to say that because I was in a group once where that would happen and the mod wouldn't do jack shit. So that is really not satisfying at all. But this particular experience, oh my gosh. I was thankful 1,000 times over that I did not engage that idiot. And it's just delightful that after he posted that comment, he banned me. And after I reported him to the mods, they banned him from the group. So, there you have it. I am hoping there will be no retaliation, but, you know, then he might get banned from FetLife. Who knows? So I encourage that type of response when you feel that urge to fight. You know, it's a personal decision, I suppose, because sometimes you just really want to say what's right. You have to call out people who are not saying the right thing. And I found it absolutely astonishing that someone with a penis would be lecturing me on how this works. Oh my. So, there you have it. There's another story. What else do I have to share with you? Let's see. Well, I know I've talked about this a little bit in the past already, but it's just going so well, I'm going to talk about it again. The webinars are going fantastic. I had 10 people in my webinar on the 9th, which was yesterday, and that's a lot of people. You know, it's easy to say, sure, I have a webinar and everyone will come, but, you know, this niche that I teach about is, it's a game of finding the right place to talk about it and to be able to spread the word and let people know that these are happening all the time. So if you're listening and you haven't attended one of the webinars, even if you're like this veteran pegger, you might want to sit in on one because anybody can get in free if you want to. And just check it out and see what you think. Because if you are a veteran pegger or peggy, and you might have some suggestions for me of what to add or corrections or who knows, right? So you're always welcome to attend, even if you're quite experienced about this, it might be fun. Plus, it's always really cool when someone attends the webinar and actually asks a bunch of questions. It gets kind of quiet in there. And I think I mentioned when I very first started doing this that it was a very different experience than teaching live, because when I teach live, I get to watch people's expressions and watch my jokes fall and we chuckle and we do all those things, right? And you don't get that when you do webinars. Every once in a while, someone will actually have the camera on and I'll be able to see them. But most of the time, they shut the camera down and also mute their mic, which is totally fine. That's sort of expected behavior at a webinar, especially the mic, because ambient sound can make things kind of crazy. But I am happy to report that I'm getting a lot of givers, a lot of women, because I get the letters from them. So givers attend for free, right? So I get the emails from these givers saying, hey, I'm a giver and my husband and I or my partner and I or whatever are interested in doing this, or I am interested in doing this because I really want to do it with guys. Then I send them the code to use in the ticket thing and they get the discount. So I have a pretty good idea of how many givers versus receivers are attending. And yes, I'm quite happy to report that there are a fair amount of givers and usually they outnumber the receivers. So that is actually why I made it free for the givers, because I just wanted there to be such an encouragement. And it's sort of an interesting thing to think about, because there's also the thought process of, well, if you don't charge something, then people aren't going to value it. Well, I suppose, but there's different ways to look at things. I do have a vision of the future where these are filled to capacity. I think I can do about 15 people in a webinar. And so these are filled to capacity. And then once a month, I have one that's the free one. And when it fills up, it fills up. Then you have to sign up on the free one the following month. And that I charge just a small fee for everybody. It's lovely when people can pay that small fee and attend. And I think this last webinar, I made like $93 or something like that, which is fine. It's actually an easy thing for me to do because it's right here in my house. So I put the background up, I put the lights up, and that takes me maybe 15 minutes. and then I get all the stuff I need, all my props. That takes me about another 5 or 10. And then I jump in the shower and make myself look even more beautiful so that the lights don't highlight all of the parts of me that I don't like the looks of. That, oh, I don't even want to say those words, but I'll let them slide. That it's an interesting thing, figuring out how to look good on a webinar with light shining at you. You know, that in itself was something I had to play with. And so these webinars are just a kick in the pants, partly because clearly this is my passion and I love teaching. So I get such a high when I teach. I have so much fun and I have so much enthusiasm for the subject that it's just a kick every single time. I know people ask me, hey, I missed the webinar. Do you record it? Can we maybe watch the recording or something? No, I don't record it. Part of the reason I don't record it is because I really like doing it live. I like the feeling of, you never know what questions are going to be asked. You never know what's going to happen. And each class can be something totally different. And there's just more of a thrill with the personal interaction. I know it's not as personal as in person, but goodness, this has opened up my pegging classes to people all over the world. I do believe I heard the woman correctly on the last webinar I taught. And I heard the accent before she said where she was from. I believe she said she was from West Africa. So this is truly becoming an international thing, and it's pretty damn cool. It is really cool. I'm so excited about it. And it's easy. It's so easy, and it's fun. I wish that this could be this way for everyone in terms of their jobs, you know, that it's easy and it's fun and you have a passion for it. So yeah, I just wanted to share that because yeah, the webinars are going great guns. So I would like to also put out a request for some suggestions. I am working on an advanced class. So far the things I know that I want to include in the advanced class, and this is just off the top of my head. I have a list somewhere, but it's on my desktop and I'm not going to pull it up. First off, a deep dive into equipment, a deeper dive, because I don't really go that deep into it when I teach the beginning class. And by the way, in case you didn't know, the beginning class is a full 2 hours of information. There is so much information I have that, yeah, I pack it into 2 hours, believe it or not. So the advanced class, yes, a deep dive into equipment, but then also into equipment that people don't use a whole lot, like the really big diameter insertions, the really long insertions, the whole thing about the vagus nerve and stimulating that when you do the long insertions, the getting past the second sphincter and techniques and best ways to do that, how to clean out when you're doing a really long insertion. And then there's the whole concept of trying to reach that elusive prostate orgasm and different factors that factor into that, sort of a deep dive into that subject. And what else? A whole run through of a whole bunch of different positions. These are all the things that I've thought of that I want to include in that class. And I'm open to suggestions. I'm actually asking for suggestions of what you want to learn about in that advanced class. So send your suggestions in. I'll take them into consideration and I'll keep working on it. The other thing I'm working on that I'm really excited about is, okay, I've talked about podcast number 112 a lot. I have, in my mind, wanted for a long time to record a podcast for the men that is similar. It's going to be a little different. Clearly, it's going to be different because they're the receivers. And so it's going to concentrate a lot about you're just fine, you're okay, these desires are good, and encouraging over and over again to let go of the shame, to encourage the exploration, to reassure that everything's okay. It's going to be a podcast that's very much like 112, but it'll be for the men. Another thing I can tell you too is that along those lines, I was actually invited by a therapist friend of mine to come and sit and talk for an hour with 4 therapists about pegging. The one guy in the office is the licensed MFCC, which is Marriage, Family, and Child Counselor. And then there are 3 who are doing counseling, who are working towards their full licensure. They're young people, and he's the older guy. They're all lovely people, and the one person in there is a friend of mine, and I know her in the kink community, and she specializes in BDSM and in alternative relationship structures. So we've known each other for a long time, and so she knows all about the pegging thing, and yeah, we've crossed paths many, many times. And I guess she had one of her colleagues come to her and talk about how one of the patients was mentioning, you know, this is something he'd like to try, but that he just had no reference on how to approach his wife and was really scared to do that. And so she saw the opportunity to get all the people in that office together and just give him more information about this. So that's exactly what I did. For an hour, I sat there and I talked to them about the things about pegging that I have noticed and seen. It wasn't so much of a how-to. It was more like, you know, so what type of personalities do I usually see in men who desire pegging? And what consequences are there, or what results, what happens to a relationship, you know, when they do pegging, stuff like that. So it was just fascinating. I was honored to be asked. I was honored to be listened to seriously. And I felt like it was one more step toward the normalization of pegging as a sexual choice. It was amazing. And each one of them came to her afterwards and said, you know, thank her for her time and driving down here and talking to us. It was about an hour drive away. And tell her, you know, that we really got a lot out of that. So yeah, I was thrilled. I was totally thrilled. And if anybody's listening, then they have an office of therapists who are interested in a similar thing. I would also be happy to get on a conference type of call, like a webcam thing, you know, like I do with my webinars, and talk with them for an hour. So that offer goes out to any therapist in the United States. I am serious. And I'm not sure why I'm making that boundary of the United States. I think it might be a little bit different for other countries, and I'd have to kind of check that out before I put myself out there and say anywhere in the world. But yes, if there are therapists who want to learn about this, please, I would be happy to give you the information. I don't charge anything. It's an hour of my time. It's like, it's so worth it to me to spread the word and try and normalize this that I'm happy to do it. Absolutely. Okay, well, so see, this is why the beginning class is 2 hours, because can I just like talk about stuff? I can. Maybe it's because I'm on podcast number 216. All right. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. And if you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too silly, too simple, or too strange. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox. Or you can always call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.